Hello. This is Ken Root. This week on People in the Know, I want to talk about a gentleman who we know, I know, and you know, who is just celebrating his 90th birthday. He is Orion Samuelson, the longtime host of morning and noon radio on WGN in Chicago and the U.S. Farm Report. He has spoken to audiences across America. He's been a friend of mine since 1974. It's my intent to give a bit of a salute to his 90th birthday, but more to the incredible body of work that he created during those 60 years. I met Orion in 1974 at the National Farm Broadcaster Convention in Kansas City. He spoke with a voice that was booming, yet mellow, and articulated words so carefully that they came to my ears like they were finely crafted works of art. I listened to his conversation with other broadcasters, spouses, and friends, and I realized he was a genuine person with a strong desire to be included as an equal, even though his stature made him unequal, even among peers. This episode of People in the Know is sponsored by Concept by Iowa Hearing. Call them for a free hearing screening at 877-955-4020. Or online at iowahearing.com. From his childhood on a Wisconsin dairy farm, Orion must have known that there were some stirrings of greatness. He surely knew his voice was unique and gravitated toward radio as an alternative to milking cows. Timing was everything, and Orion's was just about perfection. The big AM stations were powerful and profitable, and they were looking for talent. He was literally on the radio farm team in Green Bay when he was offered the job at WGN in Chicago, and he stayed there for 60 years. His stature was great among more than broadcasters. Industry and government officials were eager to link with him as a speaker or a reporter to travel with trade missions and diplomatic events. In the 1960s and 70s, he reported from all over the world, Germany, China, the Soviet Union, and India. Brian Winnikens, from a radio station in Wisconsin, had the chance to talk to Orion just after his retirement a few years ago.
Over the years, you've always been talked about in the agriculture industry. It seems like anytime you have a new administration, for many years, asking, would you be Secretary of Agriculture? Did you at USDA? Did you ever give it serious thought?
I did, but Earl Butz was a good friend of mine, and I got to know Earl quite well. And so when I was told that I was on the short list when Ronald Reagan was elected, I called Earl and said, Earl, what do you think? They're apparently looking at me for the job of Secretary of Agriculture, and I've never forgotten his answer, because he said, well, Orion, he said, if you're Secretary of Agriculture, you'd be good, but half of the people would hate you and the other half would like you, and I think you can do more for American agriculture in your position at WGN than if you were politically involved as secretary. And so that put an end to my desire to be Secretary of Agriculture. And I think Earl Butz was right that I probably was able to do more for agriculture than being secretary, but I've never forgotten his advice, and glad that he offered it, because he said, it's very political, but he said, everybody will like you if you behave yourself. And he said, you can do more for agriculture, broadcasting farm stories from Chicago, than you probably could running around the world as secretary. So never forgotten that advice from Earl.
How many Secretary of Agriculture's have you interviewed? It's got to be almost what, 20 maybe?
26. But that includes secretaries and interim secretaries, because I think we've had 4 or 5 interim secretaries. But yeah, I 26 secretaries of agriculture, 9 presidents. One of them I interviewed in the White House, and that was George H.W., who, when I got the interview scheduled, he said, "We have a studio in the White House, so why don't you come in there instead of a camera crew coming along with you?" And so I have a picture on my wall of the two of us sitting in the room at the White House where they would do interviews. And I had the opportunity to spend an hour or so with George H.W. and then later with George W., who also was interested in cattle particularly. And so I enjoyed that. But the ending story to my being Secretary of Agriculture, the other man on the list who was picked was a good friend of mine, John Block. He was the hog farmer from Illinois that I had known for a long time. And I was thrilled when he was selected, because when he was Secretary of Agriculture, one of the trips I made with the secretary was with him when we flew to Moscow to sign the first ever U.S.-Soviet grain agreement. I think that was in 1986. And of course, the Soviet Union is gone. And I see John Block once a year when we have dinner together in Washington, D.C., when I go out to interview the current secretary for my TV show. So I was glad John was picked, because he was good and still a very good friend of mine. And it's kind of interesting, because he and I were having dinner at the Illinois State Fair when we were down there to do our broadcast. And I said, "John, I hear your name is possible secretary." And he said, "Well, yeah," but he said, "It won't happen." I said, "Don't say that. You never know what happens." And once again, I was right.
Well, I want to talk to Tom Brand, who is the past executive director of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, a farm broadcaster in his own right, and one who was able to be the national president of the organization when Orion Samuelson was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Tom, I want to ask you what you would say to Orion on this 90th birthday he's having.
You know, I guess I'd just simply say happy birthday to the godfather of farm broadcasting. I think if you ask anyone out there across the country who is one of the most notable farm broadcasters in the not just the Midwest, but across the country, it would be Orion Samuelson.
You know, when I got into farm broadcasting, most everybody who was serving in a national office was in their 50s and 60s. And it was after Orion had been president. And I found out later on, as you came through the chairs as a very young man, that you guys both had about the same tenure in the organization as professional broadcasters before you became president. Is that about right?
Farm broadcaster. In 1993, I was in my young 20s. It was my first job out of college. In fact, I was still in college whenever I got hired as a farm broadcaster. Being a member of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters was a good connecting point for me, and something that really resonated with me. I was encouraged early on to be involved with the association, and I'm actually the first webmaster of the NASD website. Whenever websites in the mid-90s weren't that popular, I said, "Well, I'm going to put together a page." And through that involvement, and then just attending regional meetings and having supportive management at the stations where I was at, both KMA in Shenandoah, Iowa, and at KVQ, it led to the opportunity where I had a group of past presidents that said, "We think this is a good time for you to run." So I ran for national office and came to discover that I was just about 9 months older than Orion whenever he was elected president of NASB.
Tell me what it was like when you were at the big banquet in Chicago as our representative, because you were president that year, when Orion was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame?
Well, I was very fortunate to make that trip, and I really have you to thank for that, Ken. Listeners should know that Ken was executive director of NAFB at the time, and I had expressed an interest in going to the gala that was honoring Orion, and had been following that whole announcement and the path of getting tickets very closely. And we looked at the budget, and Ken said, well, only one of us can go. And thank you, Ken, for allowing me to be a part of the evening. It was a who's who of broadcasters from across the country, people that you'd seen pictures of, people that you'd heard on radio through syndication. To me was a room full of celebrities. And then there were some Missouri connections that I think made it even more special for me. Besides Orion being inducted, Larry King was the MC that evening, little short guy, big in voice, small in stature. There was Jim Bohannon, who was originally from Central Missouri, was also an inductee that night. And a radio DJ from Central Missouri was the person who did his induction speech. And then I was just thrilled ahead of the whole meal and celebration that took place. There is a reception. And I had a chance to catch up with Max Armstrong and Orion Samuelson and, of course, Paul Harvey and visit with them briefly before the rest of the evening's festivities got underway. So it was a who's who. I should also mention Don Imus was there. Mm-hmm. Don Imus was an inductee, and I made mention to whoever was sitting next to me at supper that night. I said, before the evening is done, before his speech is done, he will have managed to have offended everyone in the audience here, which he successfully did with one exception, and he left Paul Harvey alone in his comments whenever he was at the podium.
Tom, you provided me with a recording of what happened as the evening moved to saluting Orion, and I guess the thing for us to both think of is that a man who considered himself one of us, a good friend of yours, a good friend of mine, always supportive with our industry, was raised to the highest level you can get on recognition in radio across America. So, Tom, thank you very much for filling us in on your involvement with that, your activities at NAFB, and best wishes to you as we move further into this year.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. I, reflect back on that night in the fall of 2003, and hearing Paul Harvey congratulate Orion and really doing his induction speech like no other broadcaster could, except for Paul Harvey.
Respect, adore, idolize, and regard as one of the great, great men in the history of broadcasting. When Marconi invented the radio, he thought of Paul Harvey.
Good evening, Americans. I'm told I have 90 seconds. ABC complains that Paul Harvey's pregnant pauses sometimes last longer than that. But here goes. Farmland and ranchland, USA, no longer have the numbers on which our media thrive. So that vital, crucial, absolutely indispensable segment of our nation's population needs a big voice. Orion Samuelson's is a big voice. Orion Samuelson grew up with his feet in a furrow. Orion could have been our nation's Secretary of Agriculture under any of three presidents, but he was too smart for that. Instead, for eight presidents, over more than four decades, the Big O of WGN Chicago on hundreds of stations every day feeds the men and women who feed us the information they'd not get any other way. as attested by the highest award of the American Farm Bureau and the highest honor of his home state and the myriad recognitions in between our industry, broadcasting has achieved its highest purpose in serving the public interest, convenience, and necessity in farmland through the diligent dedication of one giant of a man. In our radio audience, in the people listening, in the radio audience tonight, let's try to visualize one guy representing 2 million. He's made of bent nails and rusty horseshoes and barbed wire and held together by calluses. With his wife, he's hunkered over a tabletop radio in the kitchen. He's hurting from tractor back, but he's up way past bedtime because he's heard that his best friend is being honored tonight. Well, by golly, he's right. And I want you to note that even the moon above is hiding its face at this moment rather than to distract from the significance of this introduction, Orion Samuelson.
Merry Christmas from Chicago, where the WGN Barn Dance is on the air.
In a moment, I'll come back with another story of Orion Samuelson's brush with greatness. He might have become President of the United States. Let's take a moment to talk with Taylor Parker, president of Concept by Iowa Hearing. Taylor, I've heard there's a link between hearing loss and dementia. Could you tell me more about the correlation?
That is a great question, Ken, and it's one that has been out there for quite a few years. Johns Hopkins was the first one that Dr. Frank Lin that kind of made the correlation. We always knew there was something going on with, you know, hearing loss, the brain, and things just weren't, you know, adding up. And his research now, he's been doing his research about over 40 years. What he found is that individuals with an untreated hearing loss, even mild, you are 2 to 5 times more likely to develop dementia. And, you know, most people will say, well, why is that? And it's you know, when you understand how hearing works, it starts to become simple from the standpoint of just understanding it. So our ears conduct sound. And then the sound then gets carried from the middle ear to the cochlea, where the cochlea, there's 15,000 tiny little hairs in the cochlea that now move back and forth that send the signal up to the brain, where the brain processes that information. And when you have a untreated hearing loss, what happens is those hairs in the cochlea will either get broken, bent, or just not move like they used to. Well, what happens then is they're not sending a full signal to the brain. You know, you've been in radio for many, many years. You'll understand this. So imagine, you know, back in the day, we were driving down the road, raining really hard, or, you know, some kind of elements, or we're underneath a bridge, and the radio signal would go out. And you're listening to, you know, Paul Harvey at noon, and you are not quite getting that whole Paul Harvey, and now you're trying to piece it together. You're sitting there, you're leaning forward, you're really trying to get it all to work out. That is your brain all day with an untreated hearing loss. It's trying to piece it together, and it's working harder. Well, what it does is it pulls from two areas. It pulls from cognitive, and it pulls from balance and gait to compensate for that gap because of an untreated hearing loss. The brain then has to work harder, it shrinks, and now we run into a cognitive issue because we've pulled from the cognitive area to help focus on hearing loss. That's where the connection now starts to come in.
Thank you, Taylor. Schedule your free hearing screening at Concept by Iowa Hearing. You could reach them at 877-955-4020. Or online at iowahearing.com. Hello, this is Ken Root again, speaking about Orion Samuelson today, who turned 90 on the 31st of March. He was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame back in 2003. There's one more twist to Orion's career. He might have wound up as President of the United States. For a brief period, 20 years ago, Orion was courted to run for U.S. Senator from Illinois. He was sized up by Illinois politicians as being honest, well-known, proper, and electable. Rare qualities in the state at that time. The U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Denny Hastert met with Orion and asked him to consider being nominated to run against the local community organizer from Chicago. Orion's wife, Gloria, said he came out glowing from the meeting. However, Orion had just recovered from a throat infection that was almost fatal. He recalls telling Gloria, "You are the wife who saved my life." And he accounts for the warnings and threats given by his doctor and Gloria. The doctor, he said, told me I had a significant chance of dying if I spent 4 months on the campaign trail, traveling and speaking every day, and we agreed I shouldn't do that. By the way, the Democrat candidate in the race was Barack Obama.
I want to go to a lady who is an aunt of mine by marriage, and she's from Wisconsin, and she has always expressed basically to me an interest in me because I know Orion Samuelson. So, Aunt Mary Kaler, thank you very much for talking to me. What are your memories of Orion? I guess you go back quite a ways. You're almost the same age, aren't you?
I'm a year younger than he is. I always associated, when he'd go back to his class reunion, I could associate it with mine. And growing up on a farm, he was a farm broadcaster. So I was interested in what he talked about, too. You know, I could picture some of that stuff. And then when it came out, we certainly made an effort. My friend and I like to do crazy things like that. So we left at 4:30 in the morning to go down to his book signing. And, of course, we got there and first in line. And then there was too many people. We had to go to a different building. It was at the a place in Woodstock, Illinois. So rather than get to the end of the line, I just mentioned that I had a book that I'd like signed. And I mentioned Joe Ertl and Ken Root, and I got to him right away. Gloria put me right to him that he signed our books.
Well, you know, I found out a little bit more about that. And the deal was, when his wife went in and told him that, he said, "Get that woman in here and out of here as quickly as you can."
Yeah.
well,
I guess I told him Gloria. Gloria was a very, you know, she's a very nice person. And they only associated when there was a broadcaster thing in Chicago. Helen sat at the table with Gloria. You know, and I just said my sister met her and, you know, what a good time she had. And I wanted to butter him up because I wanted my book signed early.
My wife, Jane, says that you would have run away with Orion if he had ever made the offer, laughingly
yeah.
saying that. But what was it about his voice? I mean, you only knew him for his radio voice. What was it about his voice that intrigued you with his skill as a broadcaster?
I don't know, Ken. It certainly made an impression on you. When you could hear him, you knew who was talking. I never heard a voice just like that.
But you got to the point, you'd actually seek out his broadcast. You'd get up at 5 o'clock on the Saturday morning to listen to him.
I mean, I would listen to WGN a lot, so he was always on. He always had that, was it at noon or he spoke every morning? Mm-hmm. I'm one that has WGN on all night and listen to it in the morning, and then I would hear his reports every morning.
Well, what would you like to say to wish him a happy birthday?
Yes, I should send him a text and wish him a happy birthday.
Tell me. We'll relay it through here. So give me, what would your text say to him on his 90th birthday?
Well, I certainly wish him a happy birthday. Hope he gets spending it with family and friends, and that's about it. I don't know if he's in Illinois or if he's in Arizona right now.
No, I think he is he's in Illinois, and he's doing well. And I just was trying to get a sampling of people because broadcasters know him in a different manner than you have known him.
Right.
But I've always known that you enjoy WGN and especially listening to Orion throughout the years. You know, he goes back to the mid-1950s as a broadcaster.
Yes. I mean, he told how he, I think he started out in Milwaukee. And then he went to WGN from there. Oh, just a minute. Florence is here with me. She wants to say something to you. I don't know what it is. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
I grew up in Chicago, and we always listened to WGN. I was a city girl and didn't know anything about farming, and that's what I found most interesting, because learning about the, you know, the farms. And I have never forgotten how he explained the denting of corn. The corn had to dent before it could be picked. And I have never forgotten that. And it, to me, it was most fascinating. But that's my memory.
Well, that is interesting. And, you know, it's the difference between field corn and sweet corn. That sweet corn is supposed to be full of moisture and soft and edible, whereas field corn needs to dry. And for it to dry, it has to basically shrink, and the shrink is called the dent. And Orion, I'm sure, explained that better than I did, but that's true. That's why it's called yellow dent corn.
Yeah, he didn't really explain it. He just every day would said, "Well, the corn hasn't dented yet." And I was asking my father. My father was born in Rock Island, and I thought he might know that. I said, "Father, what is he talking about? The corn hasn't dented." And so.
That's
how I discovered about corn. And
well, Florence, that was interesting, and you and Mary stay out of trouble.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me tell you that.
Organic food wasn't necessary to buy organic food for the price and everything.
When Orion was 80, I attended a speech he made at the Iowa FFA Enrichment Center in Ankeny, Iowa. He was twice as old at the time as when I had first met him. Yet he moved smoothly to the podium, addressed the group with many encouraging comments, and articulated each word with total precision. I watched the youthful faces and their rapt attention. He proceeded to awe his audience and focus them on the future. I said to my broadcasting friends following his speech, "Not 10% of us could have come close to that delivery when we were in our prime." Now we come to Orion's 90th birthday, and like all mankind, he battles age. He holds his dignity tightly and works to be as healthy and complete as when he was putting in long days as an early morning and noon voice on the radio and as a host of the weekly U.S. Farm Report TV show, not to mention several evening speeches across the region. We jokingly called him God. I once asked him to take an offstage microphone and be part of a skit at our convention. The onstage speaker heard his name called with a ringing tone that would send shivers down your spine. And he said, looking up into space, "Orion, is that you?" And the voice replied, "No, it's God. I just sound like Orion." Happy birthday, my friend. Take care. Thanks for listening to People in the Know. I'm on the hunt for guests to interview. If you have suggestions, contact me at this email address, kenroot@gmail.com. kenroot@gmail.com. Have a great week.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on, brothers, let's go.